Welcome to the Parenthood Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gams. Join me as we explore the hardest job that you will ever love, parenting your child.
Yeah.
And then that brings us to food. So have we covered that enough? Do you feel like...
I think it's strategies.
It makes sense because he's not going to want to clean up his own diaper.
Yeah.
Hmm. Especially if he has to get his hands... literally get his hands dirty.
Yeah.
He won't be happy.
Well, that's your choice. It's okay, Fox, whether you want to or not. It's up to you, honey. But this is what we're no longer willing to do. Willing. Not that I can or can't or should or shouldn't. Willing implies choice on your own part that I'm willing to do this or I'm no longer willing to do that. So it's your own boundary. I'm no longer willing to do that. You're free to do whatever you choose, Fox. We're no longer willing to do that. That's your choice. You see?
Yeah.
It's not about he has to change anything. He just has to own it. Whatever his choice is. Because it's not our problem.
Yeah.
We're providing a toilet.
We provide two.
Yeah.
It's like either the big one or if he wants to go on the little one, if that makes it better.
Right.
But
and we'll have to get his paternal grandparents on the same page then.
His dad's parents watch him while I work or while we're at work.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think they're usually willing to try things.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't want to change another diaper too.
I'm sure of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how can you think now of things that would motivate him?
That's a little trickier too because Christmas just came by and I feel like he got so many gifts that he doesn't even touch.
What I was wondering is what if we got him like a car track or something with no cars that he can't use until he collects the cars?
Might be if he's into that type of thing. I think he'll. I don't know whether he's... Or if it would just be an empty car track at that point.
And just find another toy.
Maybe.
We'll find something. We should go to Target and just look. It's got to be a toy.
Because no food, even if it's, I mean, it's not sweet, but what if there are favorites that are treats or of any kind?
There's nothing that, it used to be pretzels.
Or drinks. Any drinks?
Water.
Okay.
Water and milk.
Water and milk, drinks. Yeah.
Ice cream.
Nothing sweet.
Yeah. It's and the
peanut butter, any certain kind of bars or anything that's like, no, those are treats. We don't get those all the time.
I mean, I guess crackers, potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a type of cracker that's particularly special too. I don't know.
Those little peanut butter crackers or any of those different, if you could go get a bunch of different types of little cracker, you know, like kitty or animal crackers. Anything. I don't know. I'm just thinking with you.
And it really, it's anything that he only eats.
The stuff that he eats right now is he'll eat macaroni and cheese, crackers, pretzels, hot dogs. Sometimes these meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he tells us he doesn't like those anymore.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll just like decide he doesn't like a food that he's always eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He'll tell you, I don't like it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's on rare occasions he'll try something like chicken fingers at a restaurant or
the strangest thing is we went to California in September for my sister's wedding and he tried so many new foods out there and when I was like you like crab and lobster maybe we can get some of that at home and he's looked at me and said no there isn't good food in Indianapolis all the good food's in California.
He said that?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, he's right.
Sister rubbing off on him.
I know. But
the food is different in California.
I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe he just has a really refined palate.
Mm.
No, he doesn't. That's about power. It's again back to power.
Exactly.
It is. And so what you've seen is how capable he is. He's very capable of expanding his repertoire of foods.
Mm-hmm.
Quite, in fact. And he likes it. So keep that in mind as you proceed with putting different things on his plate. Hey, we're good in here. We're good. Come on in.
I was like, trying not.
I think we are.
Oh, yes.
I think we are.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I think we're no. working it out. We're taping, right? You see it moving? It's going?
We're good, yeah.
Okay, we're doing it. So just go do your thing.
Okay, so you guys aren't done.
No, we're not done. We have like probably 25 minutes. Okay. Unless you want to go.
No, whatever. No. It's I'm okay. fine. Yeah, I'm fine. Totally fine.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, welcome back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This has been like a crazy day for me.
I was saying I should have called or texted you rather than email.
And this, you know, I will learn as we go along. But now Katie's like, maybe we should exchange phone numbers first so that it's not via email or just stick to the original plan. But for me, my older kids are out of school today.
Well, everybody got snowed out.
My youngest
is
sick. So my husband stayed home. And so I was just trying to move things up a little bit so I could relieve him earlier. And it turned out. So anyway, I apologize. But
very fun.
All right. Just holler when you're done, Michelle.
Okay. okay, foods. Back to foods. Okay, so you're seeing how capable he really is. So this isn't about that he can't. He clearly can. And so again, it's surrendering the power to him. And let's talk a little bit about foods. Okay. Signals can be helpful when you find yourself power struggling over things. And one of the signals that I used to use with my kids was this, which is making a T with your hands. One hand on top, one hand down. T for try. Okay. So this was the lecture of we do this at dinner. Like you just have to, at our house, you have to taste everything. If you don't like it, you can spit it out. But you taste everything and then you're free to go get whatever dessert after that, which was a bowl low down in the pantry that they could choose whatever they wanted out of. For him, that needs to be crackers or something that he's motivated by. It doesn't matter. Whatever is the after dinner that isn't the part of the dinner for y'all, whatever that is. So that if he tastes everything, that's available to you. If you don't taste everything, then it's not. And that's your choice. It's not, again, I'm trying to beg you or motivate you or remind you, well, remember, if you taste everything, then you get your crackers. No, it's just, this is the way it is. And he does or he doesn't. And that's up to him. And it's our job to keep putting a variety of foods on the plate. Okay. So my understanding is that it takes exposure 7 times to a food before kids will try it. So even though he resists strawberries, put the strawberry on the plate. Even though he resists apples, put the apples on the plate. Like a piece of them. Like keep introducing, and I'm not saying make a plate of food that he doesn't want because you want to make sure he's going to eat something. But I want him to be stretched on that plate as well. Exposed. And so, and then he's motivated with, if you taste it, this is just, it's just a flat out family rule. You taste it, you're free to go get whatever. We don't have to discuss it every night at all. It's just available. This is just the way it goes. If you don't, that's fine too. So there is no argument. There's no lecture. There's no power struggle. This is just our reality. So I tasted it. Now can I get the, you already know, like feel free, whatever. You know, so that there continues to be exposure for him. So don't let him stay in his little bubble. Keep expanding it and keep putting, because they have more intense taste buds. They have, my understanding is they have more in numbers than us. And so that's why we all have bland food, you know, and then the older we get, it expands. And so the problem is if we stop expanding it for him, we just stay in his little tunnel and then he's not branching out. And as you've seen, when he's on the road in California, he's quite capable and he likes it. So it's just keep at it, even though it's maddening. Don't waste your money and all that, but on like wasted food, but keep putting a bite or whatever, something, a few, whatever. Keep stretching him on that with the food and back out that it's up to him and there's a motivation and there's no more discussion about it. Just is. Okay.
Yeah. And it's so, counter to, I think, the way we were probably raised too.
Yeah.
And what was probably culturally normal, just that you you sit at the table until you finish it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You can't eat anything until...
Right, and you have to eat everything.
Clean plate club.
Clean plate club. Which
and we haven't.
No.
Good for you. Good for you, because that promotes eating disorders. I'm going to decide for you how much you need to eat. No, that's up to you to decide, to tune into your own body with what that sensation feels like of fullness or not, and hunger or not. And we're here to provide it for you. It's your job to decide how much of it you need. So no, there's no clean plate anything. However, I can expect, have the expectation of tasting everything. And you are free to spit it out. Fine. You know, you still need that there. I can't have that expectation of you. That's not promoting anything except expanding you. You know, so, yeah, okay. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, when he had, okay, you know, you had said also about him sitting on the potty for a period of time and a timer. Do you notice a pattern for him? Like, you know when he needs to go? You know, is it after eating or after school or after, you know, like certain times where there's a pattern or no?
I say the pattern is probably after we've
put him to bed.
He relaxes.
I thought it was just he was trying to stay up longer. But,
maybe.
Either way.
But it seems like sometimes I'll go in the morning, though. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go both times.
Yeah.
But it's either morning or night. First thing in the morning, or it used to be right when we needed to leave. That luckily changed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But it might be the relaxation thing. It's
definitely a much more optimistic way to look at it than
yeah.
we were.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's interesting too. We can talk about that, because you're saying you put him to bed and you do the bedtime routine, and then he has the all call of SOS, I need help, come back, and I need to poop, and then everybody runs their circles around him?
He calls us back into his room pretty regularly for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
And we try to stay strong and not at times, but
okay.
I think we get
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about this, because we can shift some of this too.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a couple pieces involved in this. It's not just him holding it. It's also a way for him to do like what we were describing about a way for you to care for me. There's that played into this, into the bedtime thing, which is a new twist on bedtime. Like a new, you know, for this is a new one for me. Because kids will do anything to keep their parents going. I'm just saying that this is interesting, kind of, that this is what he's doing. So we can shift that too, because it's inappropriate. He's asking for your attention at an inappropriate time. It's not appropriate. Like, so for instance, let's talk about leaving you. Okay. So two different parts of this. You do the routine, whatever that is, the bedtime routine with him. Stand in his door frame and say, Fox, when I leave the room, I will no longer be looking at you or talking to you. Is there anything else you want to say? Well, I need the whatever. And you may or may not be willing to do anything he's asking for or whatever it is, but then you need to leave. Okay. And then he's going to yell or do what he does to get you back in there. He's going to test to see if you mean it. He can don't answer. Don't go back in, because he's old enough. This isn't a baby or a toddler. You're trying. So he don't go back in. If he comes out, you do not look at him. You don't talk to him. There's nothing said. You just redirect him back. Gentle pressure on the shoulders. He walks back. You don't carry him. He walked out. He's walking back. Go back to bed. Tuck him in. Walk out. Do not look or talk to him. If you do, it's like payment to get up and do it again. Because it's attention, negative or positive, anything works.
Yeah.
So nothing. Okay. So that's going to create an interesting scenario should he decide it's his time to poop. So we need you to know, Fox, we're not going to be participating in this. Feel free to go in the bathroom if that's what you need to do, and you know, whatever you need to do, but that's what needs to happen. If he chooses to do that after you all have done your part, which is put him to bed, that's on you. Comments? Questions?
It sounds like.
And it's usually me who responds to him.
Yeah, because you always go back.
Part of that's the reason, and because you tell me to as well.
Sometimes, yeah.
But we generally give in at some point, even when we, you know, try to stay strong for a little bit.
Mm-mm. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't give in. Not then. And I'm not saying that you can't, if it's an exception to the rule, you know, like if he goes to bed normally and then, you know, once every 2 weeks he says, hey, whatever, of course you respond. But when it's an every night thing, you're trying to groom a new behavior, there are no exceptions because you're building credibility that you mean it. So in the future, I'm fine with exceptions. But when you're grooming something new, there are no exceptions because it's not groomed yet. There has to be a practice. So don't, nobody's going. And you're giving him an opportunity before you walk out.
Yeah. So
you have, everything that I teach is about being both firm and kind at the same time. So hear that. This is both firm and kind at the same time. It's not go to bed. That's firm. Without a bedtime routine, without aiding this, without the respect and courtesy of, is there anything else that you want to say? And then that's the kind. And then the firm is, we're done. It's over. Time for you to be in bed. Time for us to do whatever we want. So it's firm and kind at the same time. We're here for you. We love you. We're participating in your life. And there are lines that don't get crossed. And this is one of them.
Yeah. There's so many times we've gone back. It'll just sound distraught. And you'll go back and say, what do you need? And he goes, what I need is...
He's thinking out loud.
It's just manipulation.
Yeah. He's good at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's capable. Just like the food, just like the pooping on the potty, just like the staying and going to bed on his own. All of these, he's capable. It's not his preference. It's no child's preference. And we have to show them they're capable. They're quite capable. That you love them and they're capable of doing this and you have confidence in them. That's the message. Mm-hmm. And you got this. Good night.
All good things.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling?
I think it feels doable. I think we'll have to figure out the exact method of having him clean himself.
Mm-hmm.
Just be more.
Mm-hmm.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's just once or
twice. Well, you know what? We're thinking through this. Yeah, it could be once or twice because it's not likely that he's going to want to continue this program when he's responsible for it. But, you know, I'm thinking firm and kind, that we're willing to sort of take the diaper and dispose of it. We're willing to do that. The rest is up to you. Which is the stand in the shower, if there's the shower head kind of thing. Because then it's up to you. Like, he has to get the rest off.
Yeah. And he doesn't love being wet either. So
Right, so there. Like, it's like you're managing the heavy lifting kind of thing off this. Without, you know, like you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But then, the rest is up to you, bud. Kind and firm. Mm-hmm. Kind and firm. That's our job as parents. Kind and firm. Not kind or firm.
Yeah.
at the same time, figuring out how to be both. I'm here with you. I'm not owning it. I'm not taking over. I'm here to support. That's it. You got to have a part in this, skin in the game. Which is different than figure it out, you're on your own. It's not it. Mm-mm. I'm willing to do part of this, and you have to own part because it's really your problem. I'm supporting. I'm helping here. But it's his problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I feel optimistic about it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, doing something different can only help, too. Like, you just have to, we have to interrupt this, do something different, because this isn't working.
Right.
And there are times that we've tried new things, and then that clearly isn't working, so we'll just go back to the what we've been doing before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we can wonder and I guess pontificate all day, but like I just wonder where all this comes from within too. You know, is this like just ingrained, or is it something about our parenting style that is beyond, I guess, just the fact that we respond to him so readily for things? I think we like to assume it's his grandparents' fault, right? So.
Oh. Yeah, I wonder that too. But the thing is that I had the same issues when I was a kid, and his dad had the eating issues.
Didn't so I had the dad as well.
And my dad. I think my dad had both. So
does he know these stories?
No, I don't think he knows the eating thing. I doubt it. I don't know. There's a chance that his grandparents might have told him.
I guess.
But he doesn't. I have told him recently when he's been sitting on the potty saying that it hurts to go. I say, I know I had the same issue when I was your age, and I know that it feels weird, and we've even offered to take him to the doctor thinking that he would say no, you know, but he'll say, yeah, sure, let's go to the doctor. But he shows no sign. There's nothing anatomically wrong with him except for he just stands straight up, which just seems anatomically
the opposite.
What he should be doing.
Yeah.
And we've tried like telling him, why don't you try it like this when you're wearing the diaper? We've heard all these things with, you know, like have him sit on the potty and then cut a hole in the diaper and all these things, but he just won't sit to go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it'd be too hard for him to stand around the toilet. Like, I don't think I could even stand with legs around on each side. Like, if you wanted to truly stand over the toilet, if you want to do it his way, but I don't think you can.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Because he doesn't squat.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's at full attention.
Well, doctors, I can tell you, you know, like you said, the Metamucil or whatever that it is, or what there's a, I forget what it's called. It might be that it's a white powder that ends up a odorless, tasteless powder that they prescribe to put into his stuff that makes it very smooth. It's not a laxative necessarily, but it makes it very soft, makes their poops very soft so that they can't hold it anymore. Like they can't do this anymore. It sort of makes everything not fluid, but the whole process more fluid. Like it activates and keeps it going. And so there's no more ability to hold it. And so that it happens and is a quite helpful thing. I'm just saying it can be quite useful and to get to do something different.
Yeah. I just feel like he'd still opt for the diaper though.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a messier diaper.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so.
Because there's a type of bread that he eats. It's an Ezekiel bread. So it's just lots of grains and stuff in it. And when he eats that, it's disgusting to clean up. But it definitely gives him the fiber that he needs. And he'll go multiple times if we give him that bread.
And then, you know, teaching him how to wipe too. Like that back to front and that kind of like to help clean, like that he's practicing that for himself, like the actual, here's how you, so you don't have to be afraid of, like that he feels competent to clean himself and not needing y'all to clean. I need you to clean me.
Yeah.
Like that he's practiced at that and he could, like that you'd be willing to witness and examine, nope, you need to do some more, or yep, it's all clear, you're good, you know, but I'm not doing it for you. You have to keep going there, bud. You know, like you're willing to witness, but not do it.
Yeah.
So that then he knows how and he can do it himself. Mm-hmm. It's our job to hand it over, hand these things over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there's just areas in his life that he doesn't have control that he's like making up for.
Well, yeah, everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
what he's going to do day to day.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's not it.
But that was with the food. That was his teacher actually gave us the advice of, you know, just give him more control. And so I let him start dressing himself. Mm-hmm. I let him, you know, he gets to choose what he wears. And if he wants to wear red from head to toe, that's
good.
That's what he does.
Hair and clothes are the best, easiest way to give a child power. And obviously, they already have it, overeating and pooping and peeing. But hair and clothes, because parents want to control that. It's like, no, no, let them fit, dress themselves. Let them do their hair the way they want. It's power.
And I do that. He wanted his hair to look like a purple minion a couple weeks ago. And I was sitting there teasing it. You know, I'm a hairstylist, so it's easy for me there, you know. But I can't think of any other ways that we could give him.
I don't know.
You can in all areas of his life. We think that it needs to be done this way because I said so, and this is the way we do it. When it's up to us to get out of our box, and there's always power in it. How it's done, where it's done, when it's done, with whom it's done. So giving him choice that, okay, do you want this plate or this plate? Do you want milk or water? Do you want this book or this book? Do you want oatmeal for breakfast or pancakes for breakfast? You like as often as you can, offering options. You want to sit here or here? You want Sam or me? You know what? All where you want? I mean, any of that. And it seems like he would have a lot of that because he's an only child. I don't know.
And he does. The only thing I can think that it might not even be anything we do, but his personality type is he is like a perfectionist to a T. So when he's learning how to color, he's great at coloring for his age because if he goes outside the line, he freaks out. If his teacher brought in, I feel so bad for his teacher. His teacher brought in A Starry Night by Van Gogh and was like, let's all draw swirls. And apparently he wanted his picture to look exactly like A Starry Night. And she came over to help him. But he was getting frustrated with her because she couldn't make it look exactly like Van Gogh. He does the same thing to us if he wants us to draw a cartoon character, you know. So I wonder if maybe that's the control he's lacking, being able to do the things that he wants to do.
No, it's not that he's doing what he wants to do. It's just it's that it needs to be perfect. Like his expectation of a 10 when a 6 or an 8 is great. Like that it's okay to color. Like
that's all I've ever known in life.
Being a 6 or an 8?
Yeah.
Good. Because then you know how to excel and how to fail and how to do everything in between.
Yeah.
So an oldest often has perfectionistic tendencies, highly responsible, high achieving, and has high expectations of themselves. So they need permission to fail.
And he's the only child. From your parents and his grandparents,
his only
grandchild. From your parents and from his paternal grandparents. I have like 1,000 nieces and nephews.
I'll tell him, you know, like it's okay, you know, like let's find a way to make this better. And I've looked into some books about like what to do when. I think once, like, what to do when a mistake makes you quake or something.
Oh, cute.
But everything I read said it was, like, for kids who are older, but maybe maybe it wouldn't be too over his
head. Might be a good discussion, like opening to read books like that, and then, you know, what it's like to mess up and how does it feel for him, and that it's okay, and accidents, and we just need to take care of them, and it's all good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's about power. Again, we can't ask why, because he doesn't know why. He's just doing it. But we're figuring out. That's what it's about.
Yeah. My curiosity draws
me to
it. He's
trying to, like,
analyze. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you got your marching orders.
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
You got this.
I think we could do it. I
know we can do it.
I'm curious just to see how quickly we see fruit from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even say on the way home, let's go to Target and look around at what might motivate him. I like the idea about the basket of food. Mm-hmm. So did you say give him, you know, like maybe the macaroni and cheese when he'll eat, and then a couple sides of something else? Mm-hmm. And if he tries everything, he can grab something else.
Yeah,
but he can't grab something else unless. Okay.
Unless he tastes.
What about seconds on the thing that he will eat on his?
Good question. Well, that's about hunger. So I'd go with that. I'd go with that if he wants to keep, you know, going a home run with that. But it's the tasting thing is the motivate of the extra.
The treat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
His doctor made me feel good. Just, she was like, toddlers, or, you know, babies are made to withhold so many nutrients because toddlers are just inherently picky. So he doesn't seem malnourished by any means. He's healthy. So.
Right. Yeah. They thrive despite themselves.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Some kids that they continue on a growth chart when they have such limited palates.
Yeah.
And they seem to keep progressing. So that's why, you know, kids that are picky and they don't eat much for dinner, and then parents are wigged out because their kids are hungry at dinner, they often choose not to, and they'll survive to the next day. You don't need to make them food. Like, it's up to them what they want to eat at breakfast then. But just because you chose not to eat, that does make you hungry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Can't be a battle of the wills. It's so easy to try to make it be one, but
yep, there it is. And you are in the two biggest ones, food and potty training. I mean, for these ages, that's I mean, the different battle occurs in their teenagers, but
sure.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, power. So
great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome so much. I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Peace to you, Mom or Dad. It starts there. You've got this. And if you've enjoyed what you've learned today, would you mind rating us? My understanding with this virtual world is that we can reach more people if you all help us by rating us. Thanks for considering.